This is WMNF Tampa, WMNF best little station in the nation. Thank you for tuning in. If you didn't get to hear the whole Skinny, the award-winning Skinny show, public affairs show, you can always go online to WMNF.org and go to the schedule and listen again. But meanwhile, let's listen to today's show, Art in Your Ear. My name is Jerelyn Schilke. I am the hostess who loves you absolutely the most. We have a killer show for you today. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to the people that put on Nollywood Dreams at Freefall Theater. And then later, we're talking to, there's a ballet next weekend about Frida Kahlo from the Tampa City Ballet. And so they will be here in the studio. We're going to talk about that. So stay tuned, tell a friend. But let's get started with the Dolly Rots, just in case you are topical heat waving. Here we go. We're going to start walking on sunshine. Woo! All right, we have a wonderful crew in here today. So yes, I am potting down the Real Tuesday Well. But I want to mention that we started off with Walking on Sunshine. That is from the Dolly Rots, and they are going to be one of the featured artists and certainly in my top three of who I want to see at Tropical Heat Wave on May 4th in Ybor at the Cuban Club for WMNF. It's a big fundraiser for us, and it's a huge party. You can go online to WMNF.org to get that information. But let's turn to our guests. I was lucky enough to go to opening night and see at Freefall Theater to see Nollywood Dreams. And part of why I want to see it is because I'm completely obsessed with Lagos and Nigeria and have been for years now and can't wait to go there for a long time. So in the studio with us, we have a good portion of the cast of Nollywood Dreams. So thank you all for coming in. Yay!
Thank you for having us.
So let's see if I'm going to get this right. Falone.
Yes.
So Falone Reeves.
Yes.
Is here. And your Ayama is your character. Did I say that
yes,
right?
Yes, you said that perfectly.
Oh, good. Ayama, who is a young woman who has dreams, big dreams. So, and then also with us, we have Hillary Scales, Didi, her sister. Yeah. Her dreams are a little bit different, but it was really funny how one of her dreams comes true. And then also, Milton Lyles, you play Wale
Owusu.
Owusu, who is a movie, like he's an established movie star when this starts, or he's an up and coming movie star?
Correct, established movie
star. Right, and he is kind of, he's the sex symbol of the How is it to play a sex symbol?
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's a lot of reactionary. So based off of whatever the cast is bringing, and they're extremely generous.
Right.
So I'm thankful.
Well, I would think that you know, a lot of times as people, and maybe it's more for women, but I think it's a lot of people, is that we're supposed to like not sort of glory in being like openly sexy or glory in being admired.
Yeah.
And part of what this play embraces is how much everyone kind of is interested in each other, interested physically, but also interested mentally and emotionally in others. And I think you do a wonderful job of talking about that. Now, will you all tell me, I'm going to come over here so I can see you better. So have you worked with Freefall Theater before? Have you all worked with?
Is this the first time I've worked with Freefall, and I love it.
Oh, I know, as you should. Is that true for you too?
I've worked with Freefall before. This is my sixth.
Nice. Well,
yeah. Nice.
Just got attacked by a mic. And Milton, is that true for you too?
Debut as well.
Yes. Ah, okay. So did you, I was really curious because, I mean, I have Nigerian friends and the accents were really spot on. So did you, is it hard to act with an accent and act? Like, was that, how does that work? I'm not an actor at all. I'm not a theater person. I wish I was a theater person, but that whole talent thing didn't happen with me. So so I don't know the insides. But when you're learning the script and you're learning and the movement and the blocking, but also learning how do I portray a Nigerian in the 1990s?
Yeah.
So will you talk a little bit about how you worked on that?
Yeah, I think with any accent work, you know, I always start with looking at the characteristics of the accent. So is it very percussive? Is it, there's some musicality there? And once I kind of like figure out what characteristics I'm working with, then we can kind of go through the script and dissect some of those specific things. Like for this accent, it's very percussive. So I'm looking at the consonants and things like that and going through doing the work and then immersing ourselves in the accent. So watching a lot of films and commercials and YouTube videos and things like that just to constantly hear and try to put it in our bodies.
Did the script have cues about that or cues about popular music or cues about, you know, catchphrases or things that in the 1990s? Because it's not even now, it's you're going back you know, more than 20 years to represent everybody there.
It does. It gives a lot of cues as far as just African language, period. So a lot of like when you're talking, you go, Eya, oh, like you'll say a phrase and after the phrase is, oh. Or like, you know, a lot of the, speaking of the percussion of it all, it has a rhythm,
right?
Like any language, but that specifically has a rhythm in the African tone. So it gives it in the script. So it allows you when you're doing the research.
Oh, great. Oh, good.
It's already that.
Because that must be also to have that musicality right there in the script for you.
Exactly.
And knowing how to do it. Did you have to, I mean, because I remember watching some people doing learning how to do one of those like really deep Scottish accents. Literally, physically, their bodies would change into doing the accent. So was this something that you had to use your, like, is it a body thing that you're doing, or is it really just kind of up in this, located just in the front of your face?
I think there's a little bit of everything with that. So you definitely want to have a little bit more of that sound toward the front of your mouth. But the body language definitely helps. I know with me personally, with working with Erica, she was able to kind of shape and mold how Wale was going to move and behave like throughout the stage. So in watching a lot of interviews, just various artists, I was able to really kind of hone in on that.
Now, because Wale, he's this established young, he was just voted like the sexiest man in Nigeria, you know, and so he has to, there's a wonderful balance of how he feels about the women in the play. And then there's real fun stuff. It's so interesting. I guess, let me say it this way. It's a rom-com. It has all the general tropes of a rom-com. But by placing it, for Americans at least, in Africa, and then for everyone, placing it in this other time zone, all these other things bubble up, like outside of the rom-com structure. You know, what happens when people go overseas, you know, how they, when they become just sort of like a cog in a giant wheel. And that's what I was feeling that some of the characters were talking about, and that there's maybe less opportunities at the time in Lagos. Will you guys talk a little bit about how you think your characters were like living at that time? You know, I know that's a weird question, but they're also, they're all like, the sisters are so close and they're having so much fun. They're definitely like a middle class or upper middle class family, you know? And so I have to say that was really nice, because I've seen a lot of plays where they just, everybody in Africa is always sort of either really rich or really poor, and they never really shown just to be like regular people doing regular things. So kudos to that. But, you know, I mean, will you talk about how you developed the relationships and how you bounced off each other to develop these relationships, because they seemed real. Like it was very real. The meeting of the characters, the crushes. Dee Dee is hysterical. I mean, that's a really funny character. So, guys, talk a little bit about that, please.
Yeah, for sure. I think with Dee Dee, you know, she kind of represents, I remember growing up in the 90s and this pop culture craze. So I think that's a universal theme that everybody can, you know, understand. And, you know, being celebrity crazy and, you know, watching the soaps and being like super excited for the next episode, you know what I mean? And so I think the energy with the sisters is really great, because you know, they're so full of life and so full of like wanting to, you know, be connected with the people that they watch on the screens. And so that excitement and that energy is nice. And then also just us as actors and people, we're very like energetic.
Bubbly. That part came naturally.
Yes, absolutely.
From day one meeting her, and we're like, we're sisters. Like immediately we grabbed
you
each other.
Know.
And it was
just
like, it was just immediate chemistry there. And then we met Wale after. I was like, oh, look at that smile. He really is a, like, it's just, I was like, he really is giving you heartthrob, you know, with this perfect smile. It was just like, oh, okay. They cast that right. Okay.
We
can do this. We could do this.
Really well cast. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the character, but the talk show host, you know, I mean, she's there. Everyone is really perfectly cast in it. And at the time there, you know, there wasn't social media, wasn't invented yet. There was internet, obviously, but there also wasn't, you know, there was cable, but there was less, like if the show was on at 11 a.m., you watched it at 11 a.m. You didn't stream it whenever you wanted, you know? And so that was also a different lifestyle where you, you know, there was, in a way, more freedom in that if you missed it, you missed it, and you dealt with it. You know, it wasn't, you didn't get trapped by devices and stuff like that. So did you guys have to research, do any research, or was that kind of, everything was there already that you needed in the play and in the direction, or did you look at other stuff?
I mean, naturally, you look at it as an actor. Naturally, the whole point, especially if you're doing a period piece, if you're doing things that have to work with dialect, naturally, you're going to do the research. It's in there. Like, what's great, the meat and potatoes of it all, is it's in there. But what's beautiful about it is when you're going down the rabbit hole, you kind of find mm-hmm. new things to bring to it. So that part is exciting. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you found.
Yeah, absolutely. The research is important. That way it's better to like submerge yourself in that world so that whatever it is that you're finding along that rabbit hole is filling in different contextual clues as far as like what's in the writing.
What were you looking for? What did you look at when you're researching?
So one of the rabbit holes I went down was just learning about Wole Soyinka, who's a playwright, playwright and activist as well, and similar name to Wale, and having Wale like meaning like an outsider as well, and looking at it from that aspect, it brought in a lot of similarities as far as like the mannerisms coming into it as well, and how they grew up. So that was extremely helpful as far as like how I'm able to see this world like through that lexicon of, of Jocelyn's play and, yeah, and be able to bounce off of everyone else.
That's wonderful. What about you? What were some things you looked at?
I am heavily influenced by like music and things like that. And so I was looking at like old like 90s music videos in Nigeria and I can't remember the artist, but I saw one and there was this woman walking through a market and she was like, you know, beautiful, you know, figure and like hips and things like that and the way they moved. And I said, yeah, that's Dee Dee. Like, she's always got some music in her.
Right.
And so that was kind of something I implemented in her characterization was like, she's always dancing. There's like always a rhythm there. Mm. So when, you know, I enter and exit, it's like always that movement with, you know, her hips.
And, and such a great sense of humor. Like, she seems very naughty.
Yes. Very sassy.
Well, I want to remind listeners, we're talking to some of the cast of Nollywood Dreams. It's up now at Freefall Theater through May 12th. It's just an incredible, enjoyable play. It's a, basically, it is about dreams. It's Nollywood. So there's Nollywood. Of course, there's Bollywood and, you know, Hollywood. Were there sort of crossovers for you all personally about the idea of chasing an acting dream? You know what I mean? Obviously, you're actors. And, you know, so I want to talk a little bit about the one, the acting as an actor, you know, like you have to play actors and then the actors that you're playing are playing another role. So it's very meta. So I want to talk a little bit about that, but also talk a little bit about the idea of taking from yourself that these people have dreams and their dreams may or may not manifest. And that's what the show is kind of about. So will you talk a little bit about acting as actors and but also getting in there and figuring out how you're going to sort of show these people to the audience? What were you, like, what were you picking up in your characters that you really wanted to bring to the forward? I'm going to start.
Especially with Ayama, I found she is eager. I like finding the body of this character. All I kept thinking was, I think I wiggle a lot, but she's literally to me wide-eyed, bushy tail, like literally. So finding that just, it's hunger, like it's hunger. Like you find love, but you like her hunger is, do I give up everything for love, or do I just chase this dream? Do I stay here and help my family, or do I chase this dream? And so for me, it was like finding that, where does that sit? That wide-eyed, that how hungry am I and what am I willing to give up or get in order to get that?
Also, I think she's looking at inside herself. Like, what is she going to give up something of who she
of
is?
Of who she is.
To do that. Yeah. And that was that's interesting. And it's very true, because I picture her to be sort of in her mid-20s. I'm not sure exactly
where mid-20s, somewhere in 30s,
right, mid-20s. Yeah, right, yeah. Where you, still, where you still have time
somewhere
to change your life.
Somewhere between 27 and 33, where you have, that's how I see her. Yeah. Somewhere between 27 and 33, where you're just still like eager, but there's still a chance, a moment.
Right.
Or at least where the world says.
I was reading an interview last night with, I'm not sure what her name, Nicole or something, but she's on Bridgerton and she plays Ben and on Bridgerton, and she's 37 years old and she's talking about like how grateful she is about her age right now because she can play all different ages, but she has this confidence of knowing where to start. And I think that's what happens when you're 20 and you're following your dreams. That's wonderful, but you haven't been knocked down as often. But when you're 27 or 30 and you're following your dreams, you have a lot more smarts on how to follow them. And that's kind of what she's doing. And so Dee Dee's a little bit mocking of her dreams.
Yes, I think that Dee Dee, you know, with her own personal dreams, you know, she's very much into the storytelling and the writing aspect of watching these soap operas. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was her dream, was to create these characters. That's why she's so enthralled with Wale and, mm-hmm. you know, with acting and the business in general. And she loves her sister. She wants to make sure it's a protection mm-hmm. thing. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? She doesn't want her to experience what she experienced while not being able to get to that, you know, to have that dream realized, especially having a duty as the older sister
right.
to be in the family business and mm-hmm. carry that family business yeah. name and things like that. And so it's just, you know, she loves her sister and she sees the dreams and appreciates it, but she wants to make sure she doesn't get to, you know.
Yeah.
Is she, well, let me ask you, so Milton, your character, though, is sort of the interloper in this family, and he gets two different reactions from the sisters.
Completely.
Completely. Yep. So as an actor and also as your character, to kind of like, you have this like incredible force of these two women braided together. So how is that? Like, how did you as a person and then also as that character get in there into the women's family?
Well, it's a lot of fun because as Jocelyn writes it, you get a chance to highlight the duality of being that actor and the human as well. So that social aspect of how you're viewed in society, and also just the humanity of it, where you would like people to see you as you are, just as you move through life.
Right.
So with Didi and Ayama, that presents a very real physicalization of those two elements. And as we're like working toward it, it's pleasing to mm-hmm. be able to see and understand what it is that we're able to portray and what we're able to get as far as like our interactions.
Oh, it must mm-hmm. be so gratifying. Is there a quick scene? Is that okay? Do you have time? Is there a quick scene that you can do?
Let's do it.
Does it need any setup?
I think let's do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Let's right, just go. Let's just go. Okay, wait. Okay, wait.
Watch it, you will spill my tea.
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Oh. What is it, making all this fuss? What is this book you have?
Oh, this is the script for the new Benga EC movie I was telling you about. Some of my friends, I heard he is having an open course. So I am going down to his studio and I picked up a script.
Okay, so what are you going to do with that?
Audition! Didi, you know my true passion is acting.
Ayama, are we still on this? I thought it was clear that you are not good.
I know you remember how amazing I was in the church play when I was 8 years old.
Yes, and you were not good then either. So maybe we were in church, we couldn't be honest.
Well, it doesn't matter because this is my calling. I can feel it. And I'm perfect for the part. All you have to do is, like I always say, all you need is good looks and the director will do the rest.
Is that true?
It's true.
So the play is there up till May 12th. Freefall Theater is located at 6099 Central Avenue, and there's parking all over. I want to know, and Matthew, if you wouldn't mind jumping on the mic.
Sure.
Here we go. So what's next for Freefall Theater after this?
Yeah, absolutely. So coming up next, you know, Freefall has a whole series of tandem series shows. We call it tandem because it's an addition to our five shows. So we have, we're partnering with Think Tank Theater, is a theater for young audience theater in Tampa. The producing artistic director is Georgia Mallory Guy, and we are partnering with her on You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Oh,
so, yeah,
that's
so that'll,
great.
That'll be coming up next. And then, of course, we've announced our new season, so we have five more shows, starting with Fable, which is a kind of look at the life of Gypsy Rose Lee and her sister, June Havoc, all the way through to a brand new play that will be a year from now, called The House of Future Memory, which is devised by Eric Davis.
Ooh.
The audience and the actors in it. It's a different show.
Oh, wow. Oh, good. I hope you'll come back for some or many of those.
Yes.
Excellent. Milton, do you have anything coming up?
Coming up, well, I'm finishing up an MBA program. So enjoying that process and learning the producing aspects of this business.
Oh, good.
Seeing if I can help out some friends with some projects.
And then you get a break for a moment.
well, I'm just going to keep auditioning and then see if we can shorten that break a little bit.
Right. Good. What you got?
Yeah, so I'm, along with being a performing artist, I'm a visual artist. And so I'm looking to do my showcase here, our full showcase. I did one last year, Tabellas, and I'd like to do another one. So looking for space and place to do my visual arts.
Oh, please
showcase.
Send me, and you can get my email.
Absolutely.
Please send me the information about that.
Thank you.
And what, yes, do you have anything coming up you
I'm
want to
currently
mention?
Directing a show called Dontrell Who's Kissed by the Sea at the University of Southern Mississippi. So if you should find yourself in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, come see us. It's a
wow.
beautiful show. Yes. And it's going to be lovely. So, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for coming on today. Nollywood Dreams is up at Freefall Theater for
yes.
another couple of weeks. And it's such an enjoyable show. It's such
yes.
a fun show. It went so fast, too. Like, that's the other thing. Like, when does that happen? When you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe it's already
yeah.
over. It went so fast. So, and you are listening to Art in Your Ear here on WMNF Tampa, WMNF, best little station in the nation. Please stay tuned. Coming up in just a minute, we've got the Tampa City Ballet coming in, and they're going to be here for the a Frida Kahlo show that they're doing, If I Cry, here on WMNF. Let me give my... Where's my...
Papa, oh. give me some ice cream!
I guess that's what we're listening to.
Won't you give me an ice cream? Take the edge off this summer heat. I don't care what you flame in your brain. Oh, just bring me an ice cream. On lemonade.
make everybody in the studio yell. Well, thank you so much for coming in. You guys are listening to WMNF, WMNF Tampa. Well, this is Art in Your Ear. Thank you to our guests from Freefall Theater. Right now, we have a crew in from the Tampa City Ballet. Very exciting. They're bringing back, right? I believe, if I remember correctly, that If I Cry was performed a few years ago.
Yes, If I Cry was performed in 2018. Originally, I did the piece for University of South Florida for in 2017. And then revised it again, and we opened Tampa City Ballet Company. I decided to bring it back. The different, more. I did more research. I changed it, and then I have been like this every year. I just like research more and more about it.
I know sometimes it's hard to stop, isn't it? So the voice that you're hearing right now is Paulo Nunez, who's the founder and artistic director of the Tampa City Ballet. With us also is Donna Ray, the executive director of the ballet, and then the dancer, is it Shelby?
Yes.
Shelby Russ, who is a dancer with the ballet. And I have to say that I don't have enough dance on this show, because whenever I go see dance, I'm like, oh, it's like taking it's like both taking a psychedelic and a warm bath. There's something really beautiful after being at a dance performance. Like, it's a very transformative to be in the audience. I bet it probably works too on stage. So I'm wondering, so you're doing this at the Straz Theater, not this weekend, but next weekend, the 4th and the 5th at the Straz. And you just spoke for a moment, Paula, about tweaking, changing, getting in more depth. But what was the original idea of wanting to do something about Frida Kahlo and doing it in a way that it doesn't hit on the popular, like everyone, you know, it's not all about her, you know, unibrow, and it's not about her suffering, but it's about all these other things with her. Will you talk a little bit about what the attraction is to working on her?
Yes, of course. First of all, I received a book called The Secret of Frida Kahlo from my friend in Mexico, and the book just like I couldn't stop reading on how and feeling how the arts, how paint changed her life. Mm-hmm. And that really came to me because I at the moment I was researching a lot in how arts can heal. Mm-hmm. So that was the first point I really found very, very moving for me to do something about Frida, is using the arts to heal, using the arts to, the power of the arts to change lives and to move, like Frida in her case had more than 27 surgeries in her life, starting
she was hit by a bus or a train tram or something.
Sadly, starting with polio when she was little, and then with the bus that she was traveling to her home crashed, and she had more than 10 broken bones in her body, and she had to be a year on a cast. Oof. Right. No moving. And that's when she really started to paint. That's she did all self-portraits and paint her pain, her love, her happiness. And I feel like that's what I'm doing, and that's what we want to do with Tampa City Ballet, heal and bring the arts in a way that is powerful and move people.
And so interesting to use dance and movement. And of course, ballet has a visual aspect, but to be using dance and movement to sort of talk about, discuss, and think about a painter, you know, someone who creates two-dimensional work, to use such three-dimensional work is wonderful. I want to broaden this a little bit. Shelby, when you were, did you dance it also in 2018, or is this the first time that you're dancing it?
This is my first time.
So, you know, what's so interesting to me is that the dancer brings so much to the choreography. And I don't think I knew that as a kid. I don't think I knew that when I was going. We used to go to the ballet. My grandma used to take us to the ballet and other dance things all the time. And I enjoyed it, but I didn't understand what the dancer brings because I never saw like the same ballet twice, so I didn't know how people interpret it. So I'm really interested in when you sort of got this. Actors get a script, and they can look at a script and say, oh, this is what I'm going to be doing. Dancers have what? You get a you get shown stuff. You get a video.
Correct.
Of,
yeah,
of the
yeah.
Movement
sometimes you
like
get
that.
The you get the skeleton of the work. So for this one, because it was pre-done, we did get the skeleton in terms of we had a video in front of us. From there, we learned the video, but then there was many sections where, like Paula said, she likes to keep evolving this idea mm-hmm. of her. And so there's a lot of sections that we actually shifted and we changed, and just utilizing the dancers and the new dancers in particular that we have in the company and their artistic abilities and choreography, we started diving into, okay, what else can we do? Mm-hmm. How can we further these ideas? And so we have new choreography involved. And so as a dancer, not only did we step in and learn what has previously been done, but then we were able to be a part of the collaborative process to recreate and dive in even deeper into what we want to create as artists.
And then do you have to, I mean, I know actors sometimes don't want to see what someone did before them because they don't want to end up having it influence them too much at the beginning, but dancers have to do that. If you really want to see it, you need to see someone else
correct.
Dance it. So when you are sort of incorporating it into your body, you're incorporating into your mind and doing it, are there different ways? Like, do you have to try different ways to create the movement till you understand, oh, this is what the movement is for me?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of watching how they portrayed it, and there's many things that we know audience loved from the first version, so we did try to keep some of those nuances involved. But then from there, from who we are as artists, we then took that step to evolve it, and it did take some diving into, okay, let me try this. No, that didn't work. Let me try something else. And you kind of have to play a little bit with what is going to portray her the best, Frida Kahlo the best, and what is going to make sense in that section of the piece.
Right.
So there is a lot of trial and error, I would say.
So Donna, I think that you kind of have to be sort of that non-involved. Obviously, you're the involved with everything, but you have to look and see what they're doing and understand how it fits in. How does it fit in with the schedule and the life of TCB? How does it fit in with what is going on in the world? Like, when you're presenting art for the world to respond, it has to have things in it that the world will respond to, when someone has a season and things like that. So I'm thinking that you have a little bit more of a bird's eye view over this. What does this particular performance or this particular dance mean to you as a person, but also as an executive director? Like, what does it do for the ballet company?
Thank you for that, Joellen. One small correction. I am no longer the executive director. That's actually one of the positions that the board will be searching to fill after this closing season.
Right.
But this particular performance is very special for me because it's the first performance of Tampa City Ballet I ever saw.
Oh.
So Paula and I met at the end of 2019. It was a beautiful, serendipitous sort of meeting. And I thought, okay, I'll come to your show and see what this is all about. And I do have a background in dance. So I've been dancing since I was young. And I do have a lot of experience with the arts in Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. Ybor specifically. So I go to Ybor to see this performance. And I cried.
Mm-hmm.
And that means a lot. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, I have got to work with this company, with this artistic director. And so, yeah, we made it work. I became the executive director, and then COVID hit.
Right.
So the beautiful thing about working with Tampa City Ballet with a bird's eye view is Paula. So mm-hmm. Paula is a collaborative individual. We couldn't work together if she weren't as open-minded, as kind. She works with the dancers that way. They co-create. And so she and I, the board, our volunteers, we all work together. And it's really beautiful. There's magic that happens. Mm-hmm. So the company is special. It's the sixth season. We made it through COVID. It was very, very challenging. Mm-hmm. But we developed films together.
Right. I think I watched, mm-hmm. you had people could watch online. I know that as Art and Year, we were trying to post things that people could do to still interact with the arts.
Yes, you know? And that went on to win a lot of film awards,
right, yeah.
Paula, right? How many? I think 6 or 7 film awards. Yes.
And to be a ballet company, you're not connected to a school, you're not connected to, a government, you're a standalone ballet company. It seems that that is a rare creature sometimes, and it is a rare creature locally. You know, it's very hard for that to keep going. So one, kudos for that, because you're creating places for people like Shelby to dance in. My guests right now are from the Tampa City Ballet. They're performing If I Cry on May 4th and 5th at the Straz Center, a dance choreographed by one of my guests, Paula Nunez. When you are doing the choreography, when you were reading this book, like, did you know when you were reading this book, like, oh yeah, this is becoming a dance? Like, did you know, right, like, this is, I have to manifest this.
Definitely, definitely.
And so were there things that, I mean, how do you keep it from being like 19 hours long?
You know? Yes, this is very important for me because I feel like today we, with the pace that we live, is we need to talk and say very clear in a very small range of time. So the all the Frida production is 1 hour and 10
right.
minutes.
Right, yeah, it's tight.
And you are going to see mariachis on a stage and you're going to see a choir of 20 people singing La Llorona and La Bruja, beautiful Mexican songs. And we have Nick Ewing and the violin on a stage too. It's just such a big production.
Right.
And also you're going to see dancers from all over the world. And we're so lucky that our dancers are like Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. They are a melting pot of cultures, and a lot of them are local dancers. Mm-hmm. Mostly all of them are local, and they were dancing internationally, and now they are coming back. So we're so lucky to have Tampa City Ballet Professional Company where they can dance now.
And I would think, like, for Shelby and people, like, to be able to dance in your where you live, you know, that must be a big deal, because the, my one good friend who is a dancer, who is a ballet dancer, lives in Chicago, but maybe gets to dance there once or twice a year. I mean, she always has to go somewhere else to dance.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's definitely been a privilege to be able to just stay where I grew up. I think we were actually just teaching at USF. That's where I graduated from. And a lot of them are graduating right now within the next week. And I got to talk to them a little bit about how, you know, there is a whole world outside of those walls because of Tampa City Ballet. Like, aww. They are offering not only classes to be able to take so you can continue your training, but then also the professional performance opportunities that we're developing as well, whether it's outdoors and it's immersive or we're traditionally in a theater. We kind of have a little bit of everything. So it gives dancers the opportunity and the space to stay in Tampa and not feel like they have to fly to these big cities and, you know, try and make it work without anything planned at all yet. So. Mm-hmm. Definitely a nice hub to have.
So kudos for Tampa City Ballet. So I want to, and I do want to go back to creating the choreography. What were some of the things that you wanted to express? We talked a little bit about how she used art and mm-hmm. how important it is to you to sort of recognize and highlight how art can heal pain and art can be healing. But there's other things in this. It's not mm-hmm. just about that. So what were some of the other things about Frida Kahlo from that book or from other things that you've researched, since you're not going to stop researching?
Yes, no, definitely.
That you wanted to bring forward in this piece. Because you have, there's six people, I think, is it? How many people are in the piece?
The piece is about 40 people.
40?
With the core and the dancers.
So how many of the dancers?
The dancers are... the company is 13 right now, plus we're using 10 professional dancers just in some parts.
Wow.
And the core is going to be also on a stage. Yeah. It's going to be a quiet
production.
It's
a spectacle.
Yeah, it's going to be. But at the beginning was that, the power of the arts, no, in someone, but also a figure that 100 years ago, because Frida Kahlo is in the 1926, she was a feminist. She was a woman that was really independent and fighting for her rights and for what she believed at that time. So teaching, being a professor, I always try to see how can I help my students, how can I help the young people that I'm working with to have something that can help them to see light after the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's hard, and graduating and a BFA and I have a degree in dance, what I'm going to do in my future. Right. And I try always to see examples of people that could help them to see that it is you have to have faith and you have to work hard on your craft, but you can make it if you really found your love and your passion for what you do, and of course, dedication.
Do ballet dancers, choreographers, do people have to specialize in something? Is it better if they specialize in something to move ahead, or is being a generalist better, or is that person-based? You know, because it's really interesting, the arts right now, it's wonderful to have so many people in the arts, but a lot of people's hearts get broken, you know, and because either they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, it's not a reflection on their talent, but is there Is there something best for students and young people who are joining the dance world? Be broad, be specific.
Yes. Well, I think that changed too with the years. I think right now it's very good to be broad. It's very good to have,
Shelby's nodding along.
Yeah, it's good to kind of be well-versed, be a versatile dancer because it gives you more opportunities. People want to hire you more because you could do a little bit of everything versus it is good to kind of hone in on certain niches and make sure that you are good at everything. So if you need to hone in on one thing to really grow that particular avenue, do it. But it's really good to be a versatile dancer just because it makes you easy to work with.
Yes, and also, well, Tampa City Ballet in specific is a contemporary dance company with an innovative and creative repertory. So we are looking for artists that are very diverse and open minds and creative. And because for an idea, you can get a full
I mean, I've seen, I would say since the pandemic, I think I've gone three times to see your work, I would say, since 22. I would say three times. Sorry, it's not more. And there's never anything that is just strictly pure one thing, you know, which I don't think is true that much anymore because there's the language of dance is so broad that I don't know why people would cut themselves off from being able to express something. If it's better to use a jazz movement than, you know, a classic movement, then use the jazz movement, you know. And that seems to have, it just is wonderful to watch on stage. When you all are working, creating the dance, helping the dancers learn it, learning the dance and stuff like that, how are there people already sort of like, do you already have an audience so you know how an audience will react to a movement? Or does something change once you have that audience come in, when you, whether it's just, you know, people, other people in the building or your mom and dad, you know, what happens when the audience shows up and how does that affect a piece?
That's a really great question. Tampa City Ballet has worked really hard to reach new audiences, so people not familiar with dance. And a common piece of feedback we get is, oh, that's not ballet. I was thinking you'd be wearing tutus and point shoes. And so for your audience and the station, you know, that's not what you're going to come see.
Right.
You're going to come see this dynamics, just incredible performance that is not about tutus and point shoes and arabesques.
But it's still ballet.
It is still dance.
It's dance.
But it's so much more. It's really hard to describe. And what you were talking about with different audiences, the audience who come, who are business professionals or who've never been to a dance performance, they end up weeping. They end up writing like, what did I just see? I had no idea. And you guys are in Tampa. This is a local thing. And so people get so moved and our performances are so intimate. You get right up by the dancer. You can hear them breathing. You can see them sweating. It's so intense that it really moves the audiences. And we have just gotten such great feedback from the Tampa Bay community for years now. So we're just going to keep taking that.
I think it's surprising sometimes for people. And I know every once in a while, if I haven't gone to dance for a while, it is pleasantly surprising to realize how immersive and emotional it is to be in a room with the dance, like to be audience. Like the audience is a very important part of it because of that energy that, you know, I mean, that's something I love is that transfer of energy between the audience and the performers. Yeah. But also, because there's no words being spoken, I think we kind of think, oh, well, you know, it's this will be interesting. It'll be entertaining. But then to like walk out and you're like, you know, that's
even
great.
More very special. The last performance at the Cuban Club in Ybor City, Paula made sure the band stayed and played. The whole audience was on the floor dancing for half an hour and 45 minutes afterwards.
So immersive to even that extent. Yeah,
that is so great.
With the dancers, with Tampa City Ballet, everyone was just dancing.
That's really nice. Well, we're starting to get really short on time, so I did want to mention, I know that you had said something right at the top of the show and had written something, you know, because we talk about what's next, but you, I want to explore, because we've got a great artistic audience that you all are going to be looking for an executive director and board members. Is that correct?
Correct.
What's your ideal? What's the ideal kind of actions or personality stuff? Or like, what do you want in board members? Executive directors are a little harder to pin down. But what's a what can a good board member for the TCB do?
Well, I think that, you know, following Paula's lead and having very open mind, being able to iterate, right? It's like a dance. You know, this doesn't work, let's shift, right? But it's really getting everyone. Doesn't matter if they're the person selling the ticket or the volunteer or the artistic director. It's just one big unit mm-hmm. that works together. And a lot of people wear a lot of different hats, but it's always worked so well because mm-hmm. those are the people that we naturally attract.
Right.
So if you've got that kind of spirit and you like co-creating and you can pivot when it's necessary, you know, we can work together.
Mm-hmm. What's the best way for people to get more information or reach out? Should they go to the website? Or
they can do that and mm-hmm. also email Paula directly. Yeah. She's got a lot of support, so it's not like you're going to be bombarding her emails. And her email is paula@tampacityballet.org.
Okay, and then we'll mm-hmm. post this stuff up on the, dear listeners, if you're not a member of the Art in Your Ear Facebook group, what is wrong with you? but join that, and then we'll have the information up there. We post a lot of information on there, and I'll try to get it up on Instagram as well. What is coming up next for the Tampa City Ballet?
Next is going to come Eras, which is a festival for young choreographers. So
wow,
we open it. This is amazing, like, to keep supporting new creations, mm-hmm. Choreographing new creations. So we are going to do that in the summer. And then right after the summer, we have the second year of Dance Now, which is the festival at the Waterworks Park.
Oh, good. Oh, good. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So, oh, good. Well, please keep us posted. Well, unfortunately, we are almost out of time. I do want to ask a little bit, one more question about the dance. From what I remember, is there's not one specific person as Frida, mm-hmm. but it's sort of like this elemental sort of transfer of, mm-hmm. of I don't know, persona. I don't know how to say that.
Yeah.
But there's this movement in between of it. Were there things, you know, the message of art can heal, of course, is very forward, but there's also, her work has such a sense of play in it, and there's joy. Even though she has so much pain, there's so much joy in her work. So I just want to ask really quickly, how did you manifest that sense of joy on the stage?
Yes, it's through music, mm-hmm. definitely.
Right.
The music, the passion that she had for life, the passion that she has with her friends, her lovers, her family. Mm-hmm. So all that together, we are creating four different Fridas, because many personalities. But you can see the Frida that just is in love of life.
Right. Yeah.
Is in love. So you get that energy from the play. You go in a roller coaster.
Right. Good. Yeah. Good. That's good. As long as it, you know, at the end it doesn't stop on
the
in a bad
place. It's very happy at the same time. It's positive.
Yeah. You'll feel every kind of emotion, and you'll see all kinds of dance as well. Like
that's why it's so exciting. Well, once again, the If I Cry is at the Straz Center. You can go online to strazcenter.org and look under events and get tickets. It is at 7 p.m. on May 4th and 4 p.m. on May 5th. If you want more information, you can also go to tampacityballet.org and get all that information. My guests have been I want to make sure I get everyone's last names right, because I'm not good at that. My guests have been, of course, Paula Nunez, Shelby Russ, and Donna Ray of the Tampa City Ballet. Thank you all so much for coming in.
Thank you, Joy.
Thank you so much.
So I just want to mention before we go off the air that tonight is our radio theater. We have a radio improv here at WMNF. And tonight in the studio, we have in the live music studio, there's no charge to come, but people do appreciate if you can go online and reserve tickets so they know how many people are coming. So the Living Mirror Playback Theater will be here tonight, listening to your mother, Conversations with Mother Earth. And so that should be pretty fabulous. Guest star Craig Hugel, who does the waking hours and also is a plant guy. So thanks for listening to Art in Your Ear today. We'll be back next week with lots of love for you. We're going to go out with, I don't know what to play. I have so many songs. Well, we'll go out, obviously, with Frida Kahlo here on WMNF Art in Your Ear, WMNF Tampa.